Today on Real Radio.
Never forget this. I believe the most miserable person on the planet is not a non-believer. Non-believers are clueless. They're kind of happy. They have no idea. The most miserable person on the planet is a Christian not walking with God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, the final commandment, number 10, if you will, states that we're to covet nothing that belongs to our neighbor. Of course, you know our Maker has many divine attributes, not the least of which is that He is the great provider of all our needs. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with a look at the 10th commandment.
Now, I'm sure when you're looking at curtains at some pottery barn, well, Lord, those curtains are going to be great in our Christian home. Right? We justify things. Wow. I want his wife. I want that husband. It's okay to want a wife. That's okay. It's okay to want a husband. But you can't have someone else's wife or husband. You have to have your own. But the mind away from God begins to approve of things and then justify things. And we need to watch out. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 3, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or covetousness. That's it. Among you. He's speaking to Christians. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jesting. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or covetous person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a covetous person is an idolater who worships the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible anger of God comes upon all those who disobey. Yikes. Finally, under this point, we do things that we think we deserve over time. I've earned this. I've worked here so many years, I'm fed up and I deserve. I've been married to you so long, I've been looking at your face, I deserve. I've had to put up with this cat for so many years, so I deserve, or whatever it is. What do you mean? It's not Burger King. What are you talking about? But the mind begins to go, we start to covet things and we start, as it were, making or patting the nest that we're making. I deserve this. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Do you guys remember the bumper sticker way back when? He who dies with the most toys wins. Is that awesomely stupid or what? Is that incredible? He who dies with the most toys wins. And you always saw that. Did you ever see that sticker on a Yugo? You saw that sticker on like these incredibly pumped up, raised up trucks, these tricked out cars, something you boast in. Oh man, he who dies on a ski boat, he who dies with the most toys wins. The guy who has toys puts the sticker on things. So what does he win? If he dies with the most toys. It's an amazing thought. The spirit behind, you see, Jack, it's only kind of a joke. Not exactly. It sounds cute on a lighthearted way, but the person who lives like that and for that, that's a serious issue. Because what happens is these things begin to possess us. We begin to hook our identity to the things that we own. That could be dangerous. Look, you can be super blessed by God. That's fantastic. And give God praise, glory, and honor for these things. And God is blessed by that. He's not condemning you having things. God says, you can't have me in your life and all this junk. There's a place, there's a priority of ownership. And the Lord doesn't want anything between he and you in this relationship. Stuff's not bad. But when you begin to say, I've got to have stuff, now that's bad. I worked at a corporation for many years when this Bible study was getting started, home Bible study. Mark's sitting back there. It was at his house. There were just a handful of us meeting and on a Monday night, and God began to do what he wanted to do. And it was a great time, but I remember at the same time going back and forth to work down at Newport Beach where I worked at this amazing company. It was a great company. But I found something out, and I'm not exactly innocent in this because I would kind of play off of it, but I would go for my job review, for my performance review, and God blessed me there. And so I would come out with like maybe a 3% raise and a position up or something. It's not much, but it was consistent over the 13 years that I was there. And every time I came out, the first time, I was just so happy to have the job that after 6 months, when I came out of one of the reviews, I just came out and I went, oh man. And they go, how'd it go? I went, great. And that moment for the next 13 years, it happened every time. And I got to enjoy it after a while, which was probably evil on my part. But so how'd it go in that review for you? It was amazing. So what'd they give you? That's between me and God and the company, but God's blessed me. Really? God blessed him. And it really began to eat on people. I was just so thankful and happy to be working at a place that I absolutely was graced by God. But I saw something in people's heart. And these people were older, and they had so much stuff. But there's this little bonehead guy, 21-year-old punk, and he's happy. He's glad about it. I wonder what kind of raise he got. Why, I didn't get a very big raise. I wonder what he got. And it begins to eat on people. You know what you're perfectly doing? You're coveting. It's evil. It's so natural, but it's humanly natural. It's a scary thing. Third and final thing, it's this, what we're suffering when we covet. What we're suffering? What are we going through when we covet? We suffer the loss of fellowship with God, number one, when we covet. Even as a believer, listen, I'm talking to Christians. When we covet, we sin against God. 1 John 1:6 tells us if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we're not practicing the truth. That, by the way, listen, 1 John's written to Christians, you guys. It breaks fellowship with God. Our communion, the words koinonia, our fellowship, our relatability. God's constant open door channel, communication, link, portal, Wi-Fi is now blocked. He's no longer speaking. He was talking. We sin and it clogs up the fellowship line with God. God works on this path of fellowship. And when it gets clogged up, he backs off. And the Bible says that when we're not walking with him as believers, we're sinning against him. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save you, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear you. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from your God. Notice, they're believers. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's why we repent of sin. That's why we say, God, I want fellowship restored. Listen, this is the whole goal for all of us who are believers tonight. Listen carefully. Maintain the path of fellowship with God at all cost. Don't let someone outvalue, outestimate, outglory God in your life. Don't let it happen. The greatest thing that you can do is to not let anything or anyone get in the way between you and God. Anyone. So what do you mean anyone? What do you mean? Anyone. Well, I have a wife. I have a husband. Anyone. You want your marriage to work? Love God more. You want to see God do something great in your life? Love him the most. Don't love the world. The Bible says that we have been, in our fallen nature, we naturally gravitate to the love of the world. We love the world. And we better be very careful because it breaks fellowship with God. Secondly, we're almost done. We suffer the loss of blessings in life. This is a killer. This is a killer. The fallout from our actions will result in the loss of even the evaporation of God's good things that he's brought into our lives. This is pathetically, horrifically true. All of us know this. We suffer the loss of blessings in life. A person was walking with God. Everything seemed to be just going great. Everything was going great. And then they get their eyes off of God. They begin to disobey God. Their life begins to go down the tubes. Have you seen that happen? Lisa and I had a friend that went that path and died at 28 years of age when we were young. He loved God. He was going great. Then he slacked off. He started to backslide. He started goofing off. And he started getting the stuff he shouldn't have. And then one night, man, he got killed. He was a believer. I have no doubt that he's in heaven. But his life was blessed and then systematically just went down the tubes. He made the wrong decisions, just backslid, and he shortened his life. Blessings begin to evaporate. I've said this 1,000 times. I pray I get a chance to say it 1,000 times more. There is absolutely no way that God will not bless obedience. God blesses obedience. We, in our culture, we hate the word. Oh man, that's infringing upon my First Amendment. Obey. You don't know freedom. You don't know freedom if you don't know to obey. Obey is the ultimate freedom. God blesses obedience in your life. Listen, even though he loves you, but you're a Christian tonight and you've been walking away from God and your life's going down the tubes. Listen, never forget this. I believe the most miserable person on the planet is not a non-believer. Non-believers are clueless. They're kind of happy. They don't have no idea. The most miserable person on the planet is a Christian not walking with God, that has sinned and their life is going down the tubes. They're the most miserable people on the planet. Why? Because they know better. They've tasted better. They've seen better. And God, because he loves you, maybe the blessings of his hand's been lifted upon. I believe that's happening to this nation, by the way. God is not judging America, not yet. God has removed his hand of protection from America. I think that's almost observable. He does that in people's lives. So what does he do? How come he doesn't love them anymore? He loves you big. Well, why doesn't he just spoil me in the midst of my sin and rebellion? Because you're his child. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, if he doesn't spank you, you're not his kid. Your life may be really hurting tonight. It's because he loves you so much he won't let you continue like that. He's making you choose, isn't he? He's making you choose between him or her or that thing or this or whatever because he wants to be number one in your life. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And then he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. That means bigger barns. And there will be, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, get a bigger warehouse for all my stuff. And I will say to my soul, that's funny, huh? Kind of schizophrenic guy. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Look at this. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? The guy built all this stuff, bigger barns, bigger warehouses. Look at all my stuff. Soul, you done good. Let's us go out and have some dinner. And the guy dies that night. And I love what Jesus says. Who gets the stuff? I've buried a lot of people in my life. No moving vans. No one's, you know. Well, he requested that he be buried with his pool set, his billiards. No, that has not yet happened. Isn't that amazing? Listen, by the way, listen. What can your soul own anyway? Honestly, what can your soul own? You can buy all the stuff in the world. It is not going to better your soul. Wow. I told you guys this before, but I got to tell you because it's a perfect picture. And then we're almost done. I've been saying that for an hour. We're almost done. Eyewitness accounts, the telling of similar stories of people and of ship attendants pillaging the rooms of the rich and wealthy at the sinking of the Titanic. As people were boarding the escape vessels, the lifeboats, there were the covetous people going through the rooms of the rich, loading up their pockets with gold and coins, jumping overboard into the water to swim to the boats with all the stuff. And they went straight to the deep, dark bottom of the Atlantic. Oh man, look at all this stuff I got. I'm gonna be rich. As soon as I reach shore, I'm gonna be rich. And they went straight down to hell, as it were. Wow, that's freaky. And then finally here, we suffer the loss of peace and spirit and soul and in body when we are covetous people. Think about the path of pursuing, listen, it's not going to be popular as I end this. What are you pursuing? Think about the path and the cost of it. What is it that you're pursuing? You've got to have, I've always dreamed about, watch this, I've always dreamed about having this. My parents had one, I want a bigger one. Or I was raised this way to do that. Or I never had nothing and now I'm going to get something. At what cost? Listen, what is the path you're embarking upon? Here's the deal. It does not just involve you. It involves everyone that will come from your life. So what do you mean? Are you going to get married someday? Yeah, maybe. Are you going to have kids? Yeah, maybe two, three, I don't know. Your decision now will affect them forever. You ever think about that? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain, great wealth. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, covetousness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, if you're wealthy, God bless you. And that's fine, as long as it's not owning you. If you're using it to the glory of God, then that's awesome. You say, Jack, what do I do? All these 10 commandments, I've failed. It's been miserable. What's the deal now? I understand that. But understand this. The 10 commandments looks at you like this, okay? It just looks at you like this. It has a face of stone. It's ice cold. It has no heart. The Ten Commandments have no eyes, has no hands. The Ten Commandments cannot rescue you or save you. The Ten Commandments point to a holy, righteous, and infinite God. The Ten Commandments say to us, this is his standard that he demands. And when I look at that law, I fall on my knees and I say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God looks at the sinner crying out to him, and Jesus steps in between. Having put on human skin, he knows the pressures of this life for me. He goes to the cross and dies on the cross for my sins to pay my sin debt, that the infinite God would know that 2,000 years later, I would be born. And Jesus grabs the sinner by the shoulder and then looks straight into the law that he fulfilled in human flesh. And by his work, he satisfies the law's demands. And the law, after meeting Jesus in flesh, sits down and gets a toothpick and I'm okay. I met the perfect man, Jesus Christ. The law is comforted. The law is satisfied. When that happened and when that took place, Jesus grabs the sinner and picks us up and says, now, follow me. And listen to this. What shall we say then to these things? What shall we say? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, you see, they team up together unwillingly, but they do, pronounced in me or produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Paul is talking about himself under the conviction of God. Oh my goodness, I need a Savior. And the Bible says Christ has come to satisfy the law. Is your life hidden in Christ? Your sins, my sins, our sins, always, always to maintain fellowship, we take them to the Lord and ask him, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me, God, now. I want to continue my walk with you. Maintain that and never forget that. The law is the driver that takes the sinner to the cross of Christ. And there we find forgiveness that can be found nowhere else.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the last of the Ten Commandments, which says that we're not to covet anything that belongs to our neighbor. Now, this concludes Pastor Jack's fascinating look at the Ten Commandments. We hope you got to spend a lot of time with us. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to sit down with Pastor Jack in his office and talk about this series on the Ten Commandments that we just went through. And we're going to find out what's coming up next here on Real Radio. Now, you might be thinking about going through this topical series by Pastor Jack once again, or maybe two or three times again. Or maybe you just missed a few parts here and there. Well, here at Real Radio, we offer this series on the Ten Commandments on an MP4 DVD for the price of just $25. But for the month of May, this MP4 DVD is yours for a gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Now, of course, an MP4 DVD means that you can view the series on your computer or right there on your smartphone. So again, that's Pastor Jack's entire 13-part series on the Ten Commandments for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. How do you get yours? Well, visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll see right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call, the number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.